Okay, well, let's do this.
Okay.
Did you have any questions before we go?
No.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dettis, and you know what? I didn't fuzz out the microphone today.
Oh, well, I think that was my problem.
No, it's my problem. I do it all the time.
Oh.
Whether you're at the board or I'm at the board, I do it all the time.
Broadcasting from the... Sorry. You had to, like, turn me way down. I just remembered I do a show here.
That's right.
Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations, yet so professionally polished, about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective, enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, you know, I wrote a noob's perspective on bike camping, but, like, you're not really much of a noob anymore.
I'm pretty newbie. But
I don't know about that.
I've gone a few times.
Well, so like your first time, which is when we met, that's over a year ago now.
No,
isn't it? No?
It was this January, Martin Luther King Jr. weekend.
It was
my very first bike camping trip.
That was
so long ago.
So we bumped into you, like almost.
Ships
in the night.
Yeah. Well, I guess I arrived.
You guys were
at
like
Steph
at adjacent cabins.
Yeah, we probably were. Yeah. I didn't see you guys there, though. But,
okay, but is it creepy if I say I saw you?
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I noticed somebody else was there. So let me introduce, first of all, we're with L. Newt One.
At this point, we got listeners going, like, who the hell is she?
L. Newt One.
Hi, listeners.
From Twitter. If you've been on Twitter, you've seen beautiful photographs of a bicycle tour that happened this last January.
Mm-hmm.
I was out with Adele and Harkins and Betts.
Yes.
And we all camped together at the cabins at Sub-Stewart State Park because it sucked to camp outside. So we decided, hey, let's get a cabin. We'll sleep indoors. We'll have the outdoor camping experience, light a fire and all that. And so on one of my trips to the bathroom, I was walking past all of the cabins, the row of cabins. And I was like, oh, there's a touring bike over there. And
oh, it's a touring bike? That's great.
Yeah.
It's like you just achieved some status all of a sudden.
I was so excited.
Because I saw someone with panniers, and I'm like, oh, we did that too. And I kind of had this like, oh, I'd like to like say, oh, hey, how's it going? But then I noticed, like, first of all, there's gender politics. Like, I'm a dude.
Right.
And you're a lady. And if I just walk up, I'm like, tell me everything. And then let me tell you how to do everything better.
Well, I would have recognized you, though, because I came to a live taping of this podcast.
Oh, you did.
So I recognize you. But that's why I recognized Aaron on the way
back. Really?
We're
okay.
Getting ahead of ourselves. But,
No, the answers are all here. These are the questions I wanted to ask.
I'm a friend of Steph's, and she invited me to this thing. And so I know what you guys look like.
Okay.
That's why. So excellent. I was like, hey.
So we're all creepy. Is that fair?
Portland is a small town, man. It's just,
yeah. No, but there's also the thing, too, of like, I realize when I'm out on my own and I'm camping, I feel like I don't want to have, I don't want to have a lot of contact with other people, especially if it's like there's the data-driven questions. I've been telling people stories about this since.
Like, where are you coming from?
Exactly.
Where are you going to?
Yeah.
How long have you been on the road?
To
how
the
long
point.
Did it take you to get here from there?
How much does your bike weigh? And
oh,
I keep
I love
thinking,
making up answers.
Did I give you, Aaron, I think I sent you a copy of the questions I wanted to ask someone. Like, you know, are you having heart troubles? And how much is your car?
No,
and, you know,
I haven't.
And have you paid off your house yet? And
did
stuff
you
like
email
that.
This to me?
I might have text messages or something.
I've missed this. I'm sorry.
When I'm out touring, sometimes I feel like all these questions, because I don't get the sense they actually want to have a conversation with me, they just want to know what I'm doing. And it feels somewhat invasive.
Sure.
And so that's the reason... L. Newt One. Your name is Lori.
That's correct.
Yes. That's the reason that I didn't approach you that day, because I was like,
fair.
I think it was also in the morning. And I was like, well, she's probably getting ready to go, and I don't want to, like, I don't want to hold her up. And, and she might not be ready to talk. So anyways.
That was kind of a magical trip all around. It was, it was really magical. And I had planned to go camping that weekend for the first time, and it was rainy. It was pouring rain. And I had seen the Cycle Wild route, and that it was like 23 miles or something from the Hillsboro Bora Max.
Yeah.
But I decided I wanted to add on some extra miles, so I just rode from home.
Right.
And somewhere in Beaverton, I got a flat tire. And I didn't know at that point in my life that you're not supposed to patch the flat on the side of the road. You just switch out the tube.
Ah. Oh, you can.
You can. And I did. And it took me like an hour because it was raining. And a few people stopped. And I was like, no, I got to figure this out on my own. I got to do this.
Nice.
But it delayed me. And so I ended up getting to the campground at dark. And I didn't really, I could sort of see the signs, and I had a flashlight, and I was looking at the signs. Which way do I go to the campsite? I'm not entirely sure. So I started pushing my bike, panniers and all, up this hiking trail. I'm like, surely this will lead somewhere.
Oh.
And I got the...
so you went into the Welcome Center.
Yes.
And then, like, started hiking the trails from there?
Well, no, because I didn't turn on the paved road, which is what I should have done. I went beyond that a little bit. And then I was like, I need to go in here and just figure out what's going on. I made it much harder on myself than it needed to be.
Well, the thing is, if you've never been to that state park before, it is a confusing place because there are tons of trails and lots of signs, but not all of them are fit for a fully loaded touring bike.
Right.
So.
Anyway, I pushed up this gravel trail. I saw lights at the top, and I was like, okay, I'm in the right place. So I pulled up to what was, I think, the Welcome Center or some kind of convention area.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two people who were loading up a car, and I asked them where the camp host was, and they pointed me that direction. And as I was pedaling off, they're like, hey, wait, we've paid for a cabin.
Oh.
You should just use our cabin because we're taking off.
Holy shit.
Didn't show up or whatever.
Wow.
So I was like, yes. Because I was soaking wet and cold, and it had been kind of a journey getting there. So, and I was kind of exhausted. And you know that the cabins are at the top of the hill.
They're at the very top of everything.
So the hardest
hill
other than going up through the, because I went up through the cemetery. I live on the west side.
Right.
So other than that hill, that was the biggest hill of the day. And I was totally exhausted when I got to the top, but it was totally worth it. Heat. A table, I could sit like a civilized person and have my dinner.
Yeah.
And plug things in, charge my phone. So it was, I felt like a princess. It was great. And I thanked them profusely, and they're like, no, don't pay us back. I got their name, and I've just been looking for ways to pay it forward.
Huh.
It was amazing.
Nice.
Lauren and Robin, thank you so much.
Lauren and Robin, best people ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super stoked. So the next morning I woke up, it was super fresh. I'd slept on a mattress. And I set out, and it was kind of a misty, cold, beautiful morning.
Yeah, there's some fog in the morning, right?
Yeah, it was foggy and kind of magical. And
kind of a cloud because, like, you're up so high on that cabin hill.
Yeah. And you're, like, up on the hill, we were above the clouds, kind of. And so I had, like, a really pretty view and then descended into the clouds. And it was just, like, the Banks Fernonia Trail is so beautiful. And I was taking a stop to take some pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And I was taking a picture into the mist, and this dark figure appears down the way.
Followed by ominous music.
Bump, bump, bump.
I was like, is this person going to think I'm creepy taking their picture? But I was taking the picture before you appeared, so in my defense, it wasn't of you. It was just of the trail. But
man, if I had a nickel for every time someone said that to me. Seriously, I was taking the picture before you appeared. I promise.
It's still $20. Anyway,
you grab the camera, just like rip out all the film.
Give me that.
Smash my phone on the ground.
No one sees that picture.
I didn't have a 20 on me anyway, so I'm glad you did. But you got closer. And I was like, oh, I know that guy. But, you know, same, just like social norms. I didn't say anything.
Right.
And you like kind of tipped your hat or something. And or
I
said,
yeah,
hey.
I think I did exactly that. One of these thingies.
And went on your way. And then when I was back in cell range, I was like, I think I saw Aaron from Sprocket Podcast. And he was like, oh my God, you did. It's kind of a cool serendipitous.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Meeting. And then we were at a party at Gladys Bikes. And
we were talking, and I was like, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah.
Ah. Wait, so did we make the connection there then?
Yeah.
Was that okay? Ah.
At the party.
Yeah.
You're like, I think I know you from somewhere. I'm like, yeah, you know me from Twitter. And also, I took your picture. And
then I said, that'll
be $20.
Still have
it in my phone.
Yeah.
I'll sue you all.
And the photographer release form in my pocket. Yeah.
So I need to ask you more questions about that trip. But first, we need to thank our generous beverage sponsor, the Beermongers. You know what?
That wasn't even rehearsed.
No, it wasn't. There is always a place for you at the Beermongers. And we went in today, and we were greeted by Sean, who owns the place.
Yeah.
And we had been looking.
Warmly, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
Warmly greeted.
Totally, yeah. We were looking for ginger ale because they make a fantastic ginger ale that is sold there. It's the, well, they don't make it.
It's called the Portland Ginger Brew.
Right. From the folks who make Lionheart. But we're having.
You just made Sean a very happy man, by the way.
I didn't really get the intonation I wanted on that one.
Try again.
You can try again.
Lionheart.
There you go. Good.
Kombucha.
Nice.
But they, yeah, the Portland Ginger Brew, they were out of that, which we are super bummed about. And so we asked him, we're like, hey, does it really mean you're out if you're out? And he said, yeah. But then he found us this Fentimans ginger beer, which is slightly
quite
alcoholic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not to be mistaken for the non-alcoholic Fentimans ginger
right.
beer, which
exactly.
is also quite enjoyable.
Which is also quite nice.
So is this is ginger beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. And this is Hollows and Fentimans. So I'm assuming Hollows makes the boozy part of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then Fentimans makes the soda. So the last time I had that, it was a little bit too sweet for me. But with the Bullet Bourbon that you picked up just a little while ago, thank you very much.
That. Cheers.
Yes. I like making the guy that doesn't drink go out and get the booze for us. I think that's fun.
And here's the thing is, like, I walk into the liquor store, and they know right away.
They know you don't.
They know I don't drink. Like, they know I'm like this fish out of the water.
Wait, is it because you look so straight edge?
I don't think I look straight edge.
I think
whatever
you
that
do.
Whatever that even means. I think it's just that as soon as I walk in, I have this deer in the headlights kind of look on my face.
Right. I drink and I still have that look when I walk in a liquor store for sure.
Yeah.
They're like, can we help you?
Yeah, exactly.
I walked in when I was in Montana, I walked in with my brother, who knows everything about liquor and alcohol. And, you know, he walked in, no problem. I was in shortly behind him. And I don't know if the lady didn't make the connection that we were together or just, you know, again, like something went off in her brain. This guy doesn't come into these places.
Right.
She came right up to me like, anything I can help you with?
And you sure it wasn't because she thought you were going to put like the little sample size in your pocket or whatever?
I don't think this time.
Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah. Well, the deer in the headlights. So anyways, we got all of this stuff from the beer mongers. We actually have
Great.
A ginger cider from two towns that I'm thinking about trying to put Bullet into that.
Yeah. I'm interested
I'm
in what that might
experimenting with.
I love to experimentate. I asked Sean if that was a good idea and he was like, how could it not be? So
that's right.
Yeah.
No, I think you asked him what would it taste like and he said, I think it would taste amazing.
That's right. So anyways, we're going to be trying that in just a little bit.
Cool.
Also, the other thing's happening at Beer Mongers. There is, for this week's edition of Where's Waldo Beer Monger Style, there's a crest. It's a hand-drawn crest, if I'm not mistaken.
Hand-drawn Beer Monger's crest.
Yes, it kind of like the old school, like a shield or whatever that you would see on.
That's
like
all
some,
we should say about it.
Yeah, yeah. So if you find that, Twitter it. And if you find it, you win.
Something.
What do you
I
win? Respect. Admiration. Our thanks for supporting the Beer Mongers.
There you go.
Yeah. Also, Sean mentioned the Team Brew Public is helping out with this National Brain Tumor Society Walk. It's the Portland Brain Tumor Walk. Happens on August 1st. So if you happen to hear this in time, you want to help out, there's more information. You just put that into your search engine. Portland Brain Tumor Walk.
And you mentioned Thursday. They're,
oh, that's right. Thursday.
They're opening a special beer.
Yeah, there's a tap there. For one of the guys, yeah. Because
yes.
One of the fellows from Brew Public, I guess, has a brain tumor.
Has a brain tumor.
And, apparently has a great attitude about it, but the Beer Mongers is trying to do all they can to help him out and people who are in a situation like his. So, go check that out. And if you happen to hear this after August 1st, there's always something cool happening at the Beer Mongers. So check out their website, go on in for a brew, and check out the calendar on the wall. There's plenty of stuff. So, anyways, thanks, Sean. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, guys. Yeah. So, now what?
Well, what have you been doing?
I think our I feel like our headphones are going in and out. Is everybody plugged in?
No, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Excellent. What have I been doing? Well, I just got back from my tour and been home for about a week. And I realized that the transition is way easier. Did we say this last week? Way easier than last year.
I don't know if we mentioned it last week, but yeah, you mentioned it to me off the record.
Yeah. Okay. So on the record, last last year I came home and had no place to live, and I was super like kind of drifting.
You also had my brother visiting, who loves to bring out like
Dan
like
Flores. Yeah,
in a really funny way, he loves to bring out kind of the negativity in others.
He enhanced my melancholy.
I think so.
Like nobody's business.
The transition back to normal life, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if you've experienced this at all. But this is a thing where, yeah, last year we were out for 7 weeks, and it was a long trip. And
I followed your trip on Twitter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. No, it was just weird coming back to a town. Division Street had just been,
dismantled.
Divinely smitten by a great hand of something.
Yeah.
And
shiny and chrome.
Right, right. The great Death Star had arisen from its rubble. And so I think that combined with not having a place to live and not having a job really, you know, came back and work didn't start for another couple weeks. And so just kind of drifting around. This year I came back, had a place to live already, and went straight back to work. And I was also as busy as I could be. So one other thing I did this week was cancel a bike ride.
You canceled?
I canceled a bike ride, yeah.
Oh.
And I need to put out my apologies to the people who I want to say Nathan Jones posted it to the shift list.
Oh.
I didn't realize. I was not aware of this.
Oh, is this the music ride?
And bikes, yeah.
Oh.
Or bikes and music. I haven't decided which one it is yet. Right. I like them both. But I had hosted this thing. I put this event up on Facebook. And the morning of it, it got kind of wet on Saturday. And, it wasn't weather that would stop it at all. But I hadn't put together my broken sound system yet because, the speakers are busted and I blew out the old amp and everything. So
you hadn't put together a playlist.
I had not put together a playlist, yeah. And so I just said, you know what? I could either like run around all day on my day off and try and get this together, or I could just say, you know what? There will be one next month or something.
There you go.
Yeah. And so I don't know how many people have done this. I'm curious if anybody has experience with this. But I feel like if you're leading something and you know you can't do it, or you know you shouldn't do it, it's not good for you, I feel like you should just feel free to step back and, you know, yeah.
Well, sure. I mean,
rub it off the calendar.
Look at all of the
it.
Canceled rides on Pedalpalooza.
Oh, true, true. Yeah. So
I mean that with all love. I realize, like, as I said that came out a little bit snarky. That's not how I meant it.
I do have to apologize to the people that found it on the shift list and showed up expecting a bike ride. And then
you had people like showing up to your house?
We had it starting at Potter's over on Woodstock.
Oh, right.
And so we just hung out and had some beers. But I bought beers for like anybody who had expected a ride had not gotten one. My addiction is gone. So, yeah. So that's me anyways. It's been good so far.
Right on.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, my front tire is flat for the first time since.
Like currently, right now.
Probably. I pumped it up when I left work on my way down to here.
Oh, as opposed to like changing the tube and everything.
Yep. Yeah, it's one of those leaks where you can get away with pumping it up
I've
for like
there.
Six hours or something, and then like again it's flat. And so, yeah.
Yep.
So, Mr.
It'll
Flores.
Get me to my next destination. I'll just pump it up
until
I get there.
Yeah. Yes. What have you been up to?
Well, so I got the whiskey here, or the bourbon, and realized there's only one bike staple outside this liquor store.
Oh.
And someone put an object too close to this bike staple.
Who would have done a thing like that?
The federal government. That's who.
Well, technically, they're not a part of the federal government
that's
anymore,
true.
Right?
That's well, anyways.
The United States Postal Service?
That's right.
Big old blue box.
Big old blue box.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
can't fit my bike. Huh. On the staple.
Right.
Very
so we got
well. I mean,
the
I
pictures
got
here,
up.
Definitely. I don't know, Lori, if you can see this or not. I'm trying to shift this screen around and feel things
appalling.
Around the studio. But yes,
I'm
right
appalled.
There.
I'm offended.
That's right. Yeah, the post office is largely progressive.
That's true.
Except
yes.
for their sponsorship of Lance Armstrong, back when that was a thing. And also this instance of a post box being put just a bit too close to a bike stable.
Yeah.
Do you think that the post office box was first or the bike stable was first? Because
that's a good
it's
question.
Maybe the city of Portland that made a poor choice in placement.
Yeah. That's where, like, I'm trying to remember because I've been to this liquor store before.
Yeah.
One time before. And it was, like, maybe a year ago.
Can we carbon test these bolts?
I'm trying to remember. I think we have to.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember if there was a...
Which came first? The bike staple or the object that was
there. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember having this much trouble locking up my bike the last time, though.
Right.
Ah. So is this one of the ones where you flip the lid and you can put a letter in, or is this one of their like storage boxes that you can't put anything into?
No, it's the you drop the letter in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The flippy type.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So how did that make you feel?
Angry.
Were you conflicted? I'm sure you get things in the mail from time to time.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I'm not going to like renounce the postal system. That's it. It's UPS from here on out.
However, the postal service... Not a fan of Ben Gibbard, right?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I'm definitely not.
Okay.
Wait, that was that guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
You hate
that. I mean, I didn't like that project. And that, I didn't realize that other mm-hmm. stuff. I didn't,
well, you know why they call it the Postal Service?
Because it sucked. I don't know.
they mailed tapes to each other before the internet existed.
Oh.
Like, they were doing this project, and they would mail the demo tapes back and forth. Through the mail, the postal service. And so, yeah, there's like one guy would write one part and then he'd mail it to the other guy and the other guy would sit with it for a while and, yeah, back and forth.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give him points for creativity.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make their music any better.
Yeah. They will see us waving from such great heights.
Oh, God.
As the poet said. Come down now. You got to stop me. I'm just going to keep on going, quoting lyrics.
I should be talking about something else then.
Yeah,
oh, hey, I'm changing my saddle out.
You are. You just got a fancy new saddle.
I got the fanciest.
Yeah. So, Lori, are you familiar with the, was it cambium?
Yes.
Not cadmium.
No.
Okay. Cambium, the Brooks saddle.
The Brooks Cadbury egg saddle.
With a nougat saddle.
Soft one? I'm not sure.
It's got caramel and nougat. And,
tasty.
it's Brooks's tastiest saddle yet.
The most delicious thing you'll put by your butt.
It's their, yeah, it's
that's right.
Cambium. It's their synthetic one. The natural rubber, from rubber trees.
Yeah.
And then natural cotton.
So if you don't like using leather, for example, if you are vegan or have vegan leanings.
Oh, yes, which reminds me.
Yeah.
So I was at Gordito's earlier today.
Oh, I was just there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just
in
missed
the new
each
location?
Other.
The new
No.
Oh.
No. But
did you try to go to the
let's put a pin in that. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Put a pin in that.
All right.
Because I went through a period of mourning for that.
I know.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know.
But I was at Gordito's, this particular one, across the street. And
Los Gorditos.
Los, yes.
The Little Fatties, I think. Is that the literal translation?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm going to try to move on here. This is like the train that just won't roll out of the station.
It really is.
And this guy like kind of creeped up behind me as I'm unlocking and leaving.
Mm.
He's like, so how do you like the cambium?
What? How much does your bike weigh?
Yeah. But I could tell he really wanted to know for his own purposes.
Gotcha.
Like he was asking like questions that would make me think he's thinking of buying one for himself. And I was telling him about it. And then he comes out with a question that I thought I would never be asked in relation to my saddle. And he says, so are you a vegan? And I was like, no.
That's personal.
Well, why'd you buy that saddle? He could have followed that with, you dumb son of a bitch.
Is that kind of the tone?
It was a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's interesting. Do you think they made it specifically for vegan-leaning people? Or?
No, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think veganism really...
influences
that
the
much
bike saddle
of a
industry.
Market. Maybe it does.
It might.
I don't know.
I always just assumed that was the why they made it was because they wanted to sell products to people who
the getting the vegan share of
totally.
The market
yeah.
the bike market.
It's a big market.
I guess like pretty much all the vegans I know bike, but I only know like maybe two vegans.
Okay, yeah. I don't know that many, like, actual vegans. Yeah. Although I did have the vegan burrito at Los Gorditos today.
Yeah. Did you have the soy riso or the
soy did.
Curls?
Soy riso is so good.
Yeah. I intended to order soy curls, but I guess I accidentally said soy riso.
You know, I think I did the same thing because I was imagining kind of that, like the fajita sort of shaped pieces
and,
of soy.
And, you know, I bit into it and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well
I guess we're
now.
Having soy riso.
Yeah, exactly.
So Lori and I are both moving on to the cider and the whiskey. So we're going
to
find out what happens with this.
Works.
I'm excited to find
out. The other thing,
I'm a cider fan.
You are a cider fan.
And a bullet fan.
Right.
So.
There's nothing wrong with either of those things.
Right. I think it'll taste amazing.
I think it will.
That's my hypothesis.
Yeah. Vegan things.
Vegan things.
There we go. The thing I was thinking of was that I got Primal Strips. Have you heard of these?
I really like those,
do
actually.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. And Lori, do you eat vegan or vegetarian? Or no, you eat everything.
I mean, not on purpose.
Right. So have you ever had Primal
what
Strips?
What the hell is this food?
Well, I mean, like, I enjoy vegan food. It's just not...
Right. You're not exclusive that way.
Right.
So I picked up these Primal Strips that are basically, like, I think the most realistic beef jerky that you can get.
Primal Strips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're made of, like, soy.
It is kind of a misnomer. Kind of,
soy and textured protein and what's the other? like seitan, I think.
Yeah.
And in various flavors, various combinations and whatnot. But it actually has like layers and fibers and whatnot. And very good. So I tried a couple of these from Fred Meyer the other day. And I found out you can get them on like Amazon or something in like a bulk pack.
Yeah.
So I dropped $40 on fake meat. It's going to show up on my doorstep next week.
Nice.
And I realized I should buy 40 because, like, you know, why not? Well, I'm going to eat them eventually.
Right. They don't
if you enjoy
go
it,
bad.
It's free shipping. Yeah. So we'll see. But I'll report back later on my, thinking about making sandwiches or something.
It makes me think about, like, what could be the strangest thing you can find or buy on Amazon?
This is
let's
this could go any
I don't
number
know if
of
I want
directions.
To pull that thread too hard.
Oh wait, so what about Los Gorditos, the cart? Because its former home was just torn down.
Yeah,
it's a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
It literally is a hole in the ground now. Yes.
And you go by and you're like, oh, so where is it now? Yeah, and you're like, oh no, they didn't even say goodbye.
No notice whatsoever.
None.
You're right.
And then you go a little bit further down the road and you're like, oh, okay.
They
just moved over to
like
right
50th
next to,
and Powell-ish.
Yeah.
Right next to Taco Bell and the other
Taco
place.
Bell
Taco
and
Time.
Taco Time.
Yeah.
And just up the street is, or down the street on Powell, is the original Taco House.
Is it the original?
It's
a good question.
Quote unquote original.
The Taco House.
Yeah. I've had that question because I've seen the one on 82nd. I'm like, well, which is the original Taco House?
Right. Yeah. The place that the Los Gorditos cart currently resides used to be a car wash.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'd like to think that's a kind of like this endemic changing of the times. Like maybe if we don't need a car wash there anymore, maybe that means that more people are riding bikes and being fueled by burritos.
There you go. But now we don't have a burrito joint there. Oh, no. You mean its current home?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Instead of a car
wash. That's right.
Converting the car washes to burrito places.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a
food carts.
It's a great place to park your work van in the shade too.
You have any personal experience with this?
Yes, I
do. Oh, nice.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that.
Anyways, I'm glad it
take a nap in the car wash.
That's right. I'm glad it didn't go away. I'm glad that there's still a cart.
Yeah. I was a little sad and I never got around to asking the people at the brick and mortar shop if they knew anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was really glad to have discovered that it's
kind of
it's
by accident.
It's
like, oh, okay, there it is.
Yeah. So, Lori.
Yes.
Since your inaugural bike touring trip was that one just this last January.
Mm-hmm.
So have you done another one since?
I have done a couple.
Nice.
Since.
What have they been like?
The second one, I went with Cycle Wild to Battleground Lake.
Oh, nice. That's a great place to camp.
Yeah. That was also kind of an epic journey.
Yeah.
Because you may recall, it was in March. You may recall a very, very windy day.
Yeah.
Trees falling everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was the day you went bike camping.
And it was a wind from the south.
Ah.
The way we were coming home. We were going southbound.
So it didn't help you on the way up there.
No.
No.
But coming back, it was telling us not to go back to Portland.
Okay.
But we persevered. And so going across the 205 bridge from Washington to Oregon is downhill. And it's usually like a delightful, well, not delightful, but it's a nice, you know, it's downhill. You go fast.
Yeah.
Get it done. You see some nice views of mountains and rivers and so forth.
It's a good homecoming. You're like, yeah, I'm home and I don't have to work that hard.
Welcome to Oregon. Yeah. This time, we're in our lowest gear, pedaling hard, being blasted by sand in the face. And
from
the wind. Yeah. And there's like debris, a pop can was blown into my shin. Like,
oh, what?
It didn't like slice my skin or anything. Okay. But I had to check because it hurt.
Yeah.
And
just bruised you.
That was the only time ever that I've ridden that path and had to pedal really hard. And one of the guys that was with us had his 2-year-old in a trailer behind
him.
Oh,
man.
He was,
that kid was
pedaling
not having
hard.
Fun.
Well, the kid was probably fine because he's in his enclosed little bubble. So, he's probably asleep.
Best place to be in a storm like that.
Yeah. It was pretty epic. But the actual camping was fine. It was another cabin, and so we were able to dry off. It was a rainy weekend, and walk around the lake, and it's beautiful, misty. So that was another nice trip. My third trip was, again, with Cycle Wild. We went out to Cascade Locks.
Cascade Locks.
Oh. Yeah.
And Thunder Island Brewing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. I had gone on that ride before up to Crown Point and then down to Multnomah Falls, so I knew that I could do it unloaded.
Okay.
And I'm like, well,
that is a great
loaded
ride, by the way.
It is a great ride.
Like maybe my favorite ride.
I really enjoy it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I was a little worried coming back because I hadn't gone uphill.
And it's really, that's the harder one because it's really narrow and windy.
Yeah, but it was not as bad as I thought that it would be.
Yeah, and now that they have that path finished, like you can kind of finish it out. You never have to ride on the freeway anymore, which you used to have to do.
Yeah.
And that was lame.
Yeah, the first time I did the ride up to Multnomah Falls, I was really intimidated by that downhill stretch. I was like, I don't want to ride back up this.
Uh-huh.
So we went back on the highway, which was
fine.
Yeah, how was that?
It was cringe fine. Like there was a lot of gravel. I was actually amazed that I didn't get a flat.
Yeah.
And there's like semi trucks really close by, but I don't really pay much attention to car traffic.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bother you?
It doesn't.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like a certain, you just realize that it's not in your hands at this point. So you just
find yourself like in this like zen state of acceptance. Like goes the semi and there it is.
Yeah. I was going to ask, is that something that you learned to tune out or did it just kind of happen naturally?
I think it comes naturally to me. My nature is pretty willing to give up control.
Okay.
Like things that I can't control, you know?
Yeah.
I mean?
I mean, that's a good practice by and large.
Yeah.
But,
my companion was riding behind me, and at one point he's like, oh, my God, you were so close to that, to the edge of the road, and like a semi just went by, and I was like, I knew I wasn't going to get – I mean, if the semi driver swerved at all, it would be bad. But
you were on one side of the rumble strip, and they were on the other. So,
So there's a certain degree of safety feelingness.
It is interesting, too, that I feel like sometimes on freeways I feel safer than I do on narrow roads. Like there's a huge shoulder.
Certainly,
certainly
wider shoulder. There.
Yeah.
It's full of debris, though. That Highway 84 is not fun.
And those rumble strips on a bike aren't nearly as fun as they are in a car.
True.
Yeah. I could never get that same kind of rhythm going on.
Those things are rough. Very rough.
You just like, ka-funk.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, if you hit it at the wrong angle, you are kind of at risk of, like they're deep enough that you could sink in there.
You could probably
sink
your
tires
are
small. And that's a good reason to have big tires.
Yeah.
What did you notice, Lori, about, because your first one was on your own.
Yeah.
The next two were with groups.
Yeah.
So what's the difference there? Like, was that an enjoyable change? Did you miss people on the first one and get really excited about traveling with a group? Or?
No. Well, I enjoy going at my own pace because I've never really been a real speed-focused rider.
Good for you.
So I just go in my own.
Keep it up.
That's why I got there after dark on my first trip. But I enjoy both for different reasons. I like, being able to reflect and go at my own pace when I'm going by myself. But with a group, it's nice to have other people help set the pace and the company and the conversation. So I enjoyed both all. Most recent bike camp, it wasn't really bike camping. I did Seattle to Portland.
Oh, nice.
And we camped between the 2 days.
Sure. Did you do the official ride?
I did.
Okay. How was that experience?
It was great.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of people, right?
A ton of people. Yeah. And I was really proud of myself for finishing. It was pretty painful.
Yeah. It's an organized bike ride that goes from Seattle to Portland. Yeah.
220?
206.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I think the route changes moderately each year, or it has changed over time. But yeah, 103 each day.
Yeah.
And then we camped in Centralia College, let us camp overnight.
Cool. Yeah.
So I still had the stuff, but somebody else was carrying my panniers for me.
Right.
So it was a little different.
Yeah.
I've kind of resisted sport cycling scene, would you call it that?
You mean like supported cycling or just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past. But this year I was like, oh, like all these supported rides, let's do it. It's going to be fun. And it was fun-ish. I was telling my friends
it all depends. Like with rides that big, you could ingratiate yourself with somebody who is maybe a lot more... Maybe the odds are, I should say, of you ingratiating themselves with somebody who's more like-minded versus, like, you know, the racer type. Which is kind of the stereotype for those rides.
Well, and the racer type's clear. I mean, they pass you at such a velocity that there's no chance for conversation.
Hey, how's it going?
And they're, they've got the cool wheels and stuff. And you're like, see ya. And you didn't see any of them the second day. The second day was all... normal people. Right. I don't know prejudiced. But.
It's interesting. It's kind of like, again, I have no like ill will towards anybody who wants to ride their bike fast. And I have no ill will against anybody who wants to dress up in some sort of uniform. But it's so strange and inaccessible.
It's a different...
From the outside.
Yeah, it's definitely different from anything I've ever done. Mm-hmm. And this year has been kind of fun to sort of explore that and see whether I can fit into that or not.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you entering any sort of races or anything? Or
oh,
are you
no.
just...
No, no, you're just
Friday nights at the Velodrome.
Maybe next year. No.
Okay. Yeah.
Next year.
Excellent. What do you like about biking around Portland?
Wow. That's a good question.
It's an open-ended question.
I enjoy... Well, I just like being outside. And I do enjoy like riding through neighborhoods and seeing different parts of town and... I like making plans and then biking there and just seeing how that goes. Like meeting with friends in Hillsboro or something and biking there.
Yeah, like farther afoot.
Yeah.
Just see like, hey, can I make it here? I can.
Yeah, but I like that Portland has pretty well marked bike boulevards and mm-hmm. various neighborhood greenways.
Yeah, yeah. Ish, as in like...
Like you still share it with cars.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not completely...
Do you have any opinions about the way that's going down in the past couple months / year? I know there's been a lot of controversy, especially about Clinton Street, but just in general, like, do you think is it easy or like are you still kind of afraid of the vehicle aspect?
Well, like I kind of mentioned when we were talking about me riding up 84, sharing with cars has never really been that big of a deal for me.
Yeah.
I have not felt intimidated on Clinton at all. Hmm. I feel a little intimidated the further out you get.
Okay.
Like, if you're riding out to Rocky Butte or something and there's some places that aren't quite as traveled by bike.
Sure.
Then you just think a little bit more about the motivations of the people in the cars around you. But, Clinton, come on, guys. It's so easy.
Is this gauntlet thrown?
Well,
yeah.
there's other fights to fight.
Right, right.
I think Clinton's pretty
interesting.
It's interesting to hear that perspective.
It's not
sure.
my daily
yeah.
commute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
right
there, you go.
There's my caveat.
So limited experience.
Well, then we.
But
should.
I have friends who live on Clinton, and I go there every week to visit them, and so I ride it pretty. I ride it weekly.
Yeah.
I use it, or what is it, Harrison, to get downtown?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
All the time. Yeah. So. Harrison yeah. and Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah. right? Lincoln/Harrison.
Yep. Yeah. That begs the question. So then, what is your daily commute? And
yeah, my commute
like,
is
how is that? How is that in relation? Like, because yeah. obviously you have this perspective. You have a different perspective than sort of what the narrative generally talks about on Clinton. And so, yeah. What is?
Well, now I'm thinking too, because I'll talk about my commute in a second. But I did go down Clinton during prime rush time to go to Breakfast on the Bridges a couple months ago. And there was a person who was in a car, and they seemed like specifically out to intimidate people on bikes.
Yeah. Huh.
And that was, and I actually like said something to him and he stopped, and I decided to keep riding quickly away because I didn't really want to have that conversation.
Sure.
But, yeah.
So I can understand how some people might be dicks.
Sure. Yeah. But there are so many people out there, you know, and it's like maybe most days the Tinder and the spark don't meet, but like when they do, there's a fire.
Right.
And
well, I think I've been lucky. I don't know, but my commute is pretty, at this point is pretty easy. I live in the Reed neighborhood and I bike to Selwood.
Oh, not bad.
So I go down 28th and across by B. And
oh yeah.
It's really close and simple and easy. So
that is nice.
Some people tell me that I should be worried about 28th down by Reed College, just like all the curves. They're like, I would never bike down there, but it's nice wide bike lane. And
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Hey, you've been around the block a couple times. Like, you know how to handle your bike on a downhill grade.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bipey Bridge has got a pretty steep pitch to it. Like, when you go up to the top of it,
They're having to put bus stops because they're putting the Mac Stop there.
Oh, that's right. There's been construction.
Right. And for people in wheelchairs, it's hard to get up that hill. So they have to put a bus stop at the base of the hill to bus them up to the Mac Stop.
Oh, sure. That'd be the closest two bus stops in the TriMet system.
Right. Yeah. Seems super inefficient, but I mean, it's important that
when
people
you need
in wheelchairs
a bus.
Can.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's not inefficient for those in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't know, wish there was like an elevator or something. I don't know.
Right. Because there is an elevator at the top of the bridge.
Yeah, there is.
But not at the bottom. Yeah.
There is?
Yeah.
They're putting one in.
Yeah, because the stop is down below the bridge.
Right.
Yeah.
But you go down the elevator to the stop, I guess. I don't know. It's not open yet.
Right.
Are you excited about the impending opening of the Orange Line?
Sure.
No. Hey. Yeah. Are you a big transit taker these days? Or
no.
No, okay.
I much prefer to bike.
Right, right.
Unless I'm going further out. Mm-hmm. It just seems like more, time effective to just bike there.
Definitely, yeah.
Usually. And I do take the bus.
Yeah.
And I do take Max when I need to.
It's a useful tool. I was thinking, because I work up near the Columbia River, and so if I was to live in like Milwaukee or something,
right,
I would have to take, I mean, unless I wanted to bike for 2 hours a day.
Right.
Well, each way. So like 4 hours a day, at least I would have to take transit. But I was thinking that would open up that area for like, you know, it would be a reasonable bicycle commute, even if I had to take transit for part of it. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting. And for somebody who works in a shop in Selwood, it's going to be pretty cool for people to be able to get there by transit.
Yeah.
Better. I mean, the bus goes down there, but yeah, it'll be fun.
Is it fair to say that Selwood is like the last undiscovered neighborhood of Portland? Or should we not say that?
I think it's pretty well discovered. I mean, it's not true. It's no Mississippi, but
right, right.
New shops and things are coming in all the time, and I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
People do have an impression of it being really far away, and it's really not that far.
It's not that far.
It's just that there's
a sense of isolation.
It does, yeah.
Well,
it's kind of bounded in by the river and the Union Pacific Railroad.
Right.
And Highway 99.
Yeah.
And all of those things kind of cut it off from easy or at least like convenient walking or biking access.
True.
So it kind of feels like an island of something.
It's definitely a weekend trip for people. We get people on bikes all the time coming up the Springwater.
True. Yeah, that is like one of the best parts of the Springwater is when you go through Selwood and then you can stop at like I always like that shop piece of cake. I've never actually stopped there, but
they're great there.
Are they?
And I know that this is they're great there. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very eccentric people. It's an enjoyable experience. I highly recommend it.
I like eccentric
people.
And
you can go there and you have an actual piece of cake.
Right.
And like a cup of whole milk, which is kind of repulsive, but also delicious.
Yeah, and where else can you get that, right? A glass of whole milk. Nobody serves that.
I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you would tell people, any advice, anything you've discovered in the past couple months that you would say, like, this is something everybody should know about, like, I don't know, how to get around without a car or anything else?
Well, I think that learning the flat lesson that you just change the tube and not have to patch the tube on the
patch
side
it later. Yeah.
That was kind of a revelation for me.
Yeah.
So I have never really gotten that many flats commuting, but if I ever do, it'll be nice to know that you just change the tube.
Right. Right. You fix it later.
Fix it later.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe everybody knows that.
No, I mean,
everybody knows that but me.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure that out, I think.
Yeah.
It probably depends on your personality, too. If you're like a super like conservative reuser, like reduce, reuse, recycle, it's like, I'm going to fix it right now. I've never been that guy, and I always like save them. And then I had like a bag full of tubes with holes in them. And then I eventually took that to City Bikes and left it in their box.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Have fun.
I think it's kind of like
a learning experience.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention and also the mother of like motivation, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
What else do I know about biking in Portland?
Yeah. What about people that haven't done a lot of touring? People that want to go out and like overnight or something like that, but they haven't done it before.
Well, I've always wanted to do it. And I think the thing that kind of finally convinced me is just finding the routes on the Cycle Wild website and just seeing like, oh yeah, I can totally do that.
Yeah. Just inform yourself.
Yeah. And I think just taking longer day trips is kind of where it started. Like initially I wanted to go swimming someplace. So I biked to someplace I could go swimming on the Columbia River.
Right.
And then that was like 30 miles round trip and then just increase it. But panniers are amazing.
Panniers are great. Carrying stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I know that there's kind of a some people who insist that trailers are better. I don't know.
I don't know those people.
Yeah.
Huh. No, seriously. I don't know anybody who said like, yeah, I would rather drag it than like have it on my bike.
Yeah, I think the argument is that when you're going up hills, you can stand up and like move around a little bit more. But I don't go up hills that way anyway, so it's not.
You just stay seated the whole time.
Yeah, usually.
I was thinking about that because there's some contention about whether or not it's actually illegal to stand up in your pedals in Oregon.
What?
Like,
for real?
Yeah, like the law says that you have to ride like either using your saddle or astride your saddle, I guess.
What?
And I don't think that means that it's necessarily illegal to stand up in your pedals. I think astride probably includes like both of my feet are on the pedals.
Side saddle.
I think that it could be a sexist law.
Ladies, have some modesty, for God's sake.
Either that or kind of like the whole like taillight out sort of thing. Like it could be a law that's just used to. Like, it's a way to pull over someone you want to deal with, but you don't have a reason yet.
Mm.
I think of, like, people living outdoors, basically. Like, you know, if, say, someone lost their saddle and they can't afford to buy a new one.
Right.
Then maybe that would be, like, kind of like, you know, your headlight's out. God, but officer, it's not. And then he's like,
you don't have a saddle.
Yeah. Now it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Hmm.
Anyways, I do not know. Astride.
Or maybe, like, dirt bike, you know, a little dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are always standing on
it. Yeah, yeah, you have to. I mean, in jerks. A way, you kind of have to stand.
I mean,
up
people
on those things.
Against dirt bikes would be jerks, not the dirt bike riders.
Right,
I don't
right.
have an opinion about it. Yeah.
Good clarification. Also, what about the elliptigo?
Those things are amazing. I saw a couple of those Seattle to Portland, if you believe, believe it. And
yeah.
like another thing that I saw on Seattle to Portland that amazed me was a woman going on rollerblades.
Oh,
200
no way.
Miles on rollerblades.
That's cool.
That's hilarious.
She wins Seattle to Portland, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
I mean, I can sit down.
Yeah.
On my bike, but she cannot.
And you can even like just roll for a while. Like,
yeah.
Even if she's got gravity going for her, yeah. you're still having to like support a lot of.
I know.
I like sitting on something. That's just that's my preference. I like not having to work all the time.
Agreed.
Well, thank you for coming in. We got
yeah.
some news headlines. You got time to hang out with us and look at those?
Sure.
Excellent. Which one do you want to do first, Aaron?
We got a ton of mail to go through.
We do. Should we do that first?
Sure.
All right.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Brought to you by Stamps.com.
That's right.
Why use the Postal Service?
When you can use the Postal Service.
I like how everybody knows this, and yet they still market themselves as like...
Right. You know what? Standing in line at the post office sucks.
Anyhow,
they're marketing themselves against themselves.
I know we mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again.
Oh, yeah.
Shelley and Troy are new generous donors.
We appreciate that. That means yes. we got that Portlandy gift pack that I need to send them.
Ooh.
And there's also the whole
you
like.
You can have the rest of this whiskey.
That's right.
I Except think there's laws against
we
that.
Can't put that in the U.S. Postal Service. We could send
UPS.
It by IHL or something. Yeah. Glenn from the Salish Sea. If we ever say something about boats, hashtag boat month, Glenn has our back.
Yeah.
We were talking about water skiing and how you can't do that if you don't want to, like, you know, burn a lot of fuel.
Right.
And he said,
how can one water ski without a motor?
It seems impossible. Glenn says, here on Port Townsend Bay, Russell Brown once towed a water skier behind his proa under sail. So a proa is, let's see. Well, in a minute. The skier had no problem getting up and staying up. Russ is probably the foremost expert in the Western world on designing and sailing Pacific proas, a single outrigger vessel in which the outrigger is always kept upwind and the boat swaps ends to tack. So, yes, low-carbon water skiing is practical. I would like a film made of Al Gore water skiing behind a proa at an ice-free North Pole. It may be the only way to wake some people up.
Ha.
Yep. So there's that. I think that's a winning comment.
I like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, I had to look up what a proa was.
Me too. Yes. I spent a lot of time on Wikipedia.
Me too.
And then I was trying to find like a video, and I actually did find a video clip of a guy sailing behind. Yeah. I don't know if it was a proa or something else, but some sail driven ship.
Okay.
Yeah. And guy water skiing and staying up. It was pretty cool.
But this is different than what I would consider a catamaran.
Yes.
Granted, my knowledge of sailing in boats is pretty limited.
Right.
But
I want to say, is it, what is it, a single hull? Did we say? A single outrigger vessel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a catamaran is dual.
Two holes?
Double.
Yeah, with a trampoline in the middle.
That's right.
That would be awesome.
Well, I mean, I think they actually call the cloth that goes between it a
really?
Trampoline.
Oh,
yeah.
They call it that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I believe. So, yes.
Logan sends us from NPR's Sandwich Monday pizza paste, which I looked up. So I looked up the article that he sent.
Yes.
And it's made by Cliff. I didn't realize that.
Oh,
yeah.
I missed that as well.
Of Cliff Bar fame.
Yeah. So if you like if you like the goo stuff.
Is, you know, most goos are like kind of on the sweet citrus end. You got lemon lime and like. I don't know, Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms flavor.
What about savory flavors?
I'm making those up anyways. and yeah, and I guess someone at Cliff was like, hey, this is an untapped market.
Hey, let's make this.
Let's check this out.
Seriously.
And so they got beef bourguignon and they don't.
Oh. I'm disappointed now.
Sorry. But they introduced this pizza paste gel thing and the people of NPR Sandwich Monday, granted it's a satirical article.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, they had a lot of things to say, and the quote I pulled from it was, to be fair, this stuff is designed for endurance athletes. See, it's specifically formulated to punish people who won't stop talking about their marathon.
wait. So is there actual pizza paste or not?
No, it's a real thing.
Okay. But it's a satirical take on pizza paste.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Tim Mooney wants to bus it to Boston cheaply. And I'm not going to read out the whole thing here. But he had the notion that each of the cities in the Bowash Corridor, I like that title, are close enough together. They must overlap at the edges or come very close to the edges of transit systems. So folding bike, minimal load, and mostly transit-aided tour that would take D.C. to Boston. Nothing but regional transit systems. The answer seems to be, hell yes, it's possible, but he's still working on it. As far as I know, I think
he got a lot of these cities connected to each other.
Right. For example, D.C. to Baltimore, Baltimore to Perryville, ride to Newark, and then Newark to Philly, Philly to Trenton, Trenton to New York City, New York City to New Haven. That's where he stopped. But I think he did actually finish it. He sent me an email a bit while. Yes.
Okay.
My word's gone.
I wonder if there's a connection from somewhere near Perryville, Maryland.
I wonder.
To where he could catch a transit to Newark.
Right. And this is where he was saying that, yeah, like the folding bike would be a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
Man,
also,
I'd so want to buy one of those.
Yeah. Don't tell your bike that.
Yeah, no. That's true. Yes.
She is.
She'll be jealous.
Well, yeah.
The red hair is. Had words with your Brompton the other day.
Time to go.
Wow. Paris to let cyclists skip red lights, says Tim Mooney, because it's safer. And he links us to the BBC. They have a story about that.
Did you read this article?
I did not.
Oh, I've gotten most of the way through.
See, that's why there's two of us.
I spent a lot of time here today.
Nice.
I think this is a great idea.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Paris is bigger than Portland.
Right.
I can at least say that, right?
It could work out okay?
I think so.
So are there any restrictions on this, or is it just like, go for it?
Well, I don't think you can blindly just go through it. It sort
That's
of
true.
Implies that you are making sure it's safe.
Okay.
First.
Kind of like the Idaho stop law.
Kind of, yeah.
Which was branded as people get to run stop signs.
Right.
Not true. It's just bad messaging all the way around. Okay, there's also a photo of Johnny K's Power Sports.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Tim Mooney found.
He found somewhere in Oklahoma. I can't remember now.
Yes. They sell Triumph motorcycles, apparently, from the picture. Johnny K helped us find Portland's highest spot. We were talking about this, trying to figure out what it was. Johnny K, whom I actually spoke to on the phone on Saturday, I want to say. Great guy.
Yes.
Super fun to talk to. He's our resident Googler. Basically, anytime we have a question, he goes to the internet and helps us find it.
I'll help you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not.
Hey, he's that unpaid intern we've always wanted.
Hey.
I love you, Johnny K. By the way, I love you. Thank you so
we
much
all
for
love
all your
you.
Hard work. And
yes,
for continuing to support us and write us.
Right he is there. A national treasure. Council Crest, not the highest point. It's actually out, kind of by. Like north of Burnside.
Oh, that's
Skyline.
Not Council Crest. Okay.
No. There's like a cemetery that's out kind of over something.
I couldn't quite get it because I couldn't find a way to turn the satellite info on. So
I couldn't
really see where or what it was near.
Johnny K, go help us find some more info.
I'm not surprised that's the highest point.
We kid. Yeah, it's way up there.
Yeah.
Way up there. Beautiful view, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always feel a little bit creepy because it is a cemetery. I'm like, am I supposed to be here?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Doug in Duluth found the ice cream bike. Mrs. Delicious.
Mrs. Delicious. That's a great
The
name.
Ice cream trike. Yeah. She has a trike. She goes out. She sells ice cream. More than once, she's gotten donations from people who don't want to actually buy ice cream. They just want her to give it away.
Oh, wow.
So that's a pretty cool part of that story.
It's like, here's a 20 for the next couple kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. That was a great story. You want this one?
Yeah. Once I get there, what just happened to
I've been
my
stealing
machine?
Them all.
Peanut Butter Jar Matt. Hello, Sprocket Podcast. I'm sure you guys have seen this as it went viral recently. But just in case, here it is. And it is a
1,000-year journey.
Yes.
Oregon to Patagonia.
I don't know about you, but I'm inspired. He is also writing a book about the trip and running a Kickstarter for it.
Yeah, and he mentioned that this guy is doing he's doing all the project. We might be able to get in touch with him someday. We'll see. I'm not sure where he is now between Oregon and Patagonia.
But not in Oregon.
Right, right. Not currently. Eric Iverson, 99 hacks, but a bike ain't one. 99 bike touring
Max
life hacks.
The cyclist. Yeah. WordPress.com.
Yeah, yeah. Just tons and tons of stuff there. You could sit and read this all day long. And then Eric also said, this has been my Kevin Bacon angry dancing pedaling song the last few weeks. Give it a go. Of Montreal, the past is a grotesque animal. And that is, in fact, a great angry dancing song. We just listened to it before the show.
Yeah, we were jamming on it.
Unfortunately, we don't have the educational license it would take to share that with you here, even though we would be doing it for the purposes of criticism.
Educating the public, really.
Yes, yes, and review. So, a little bit of news?
A little bit of
news.
All
right, here it comes.
Nope. What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast.
Michael Tetta of the CCC shares with us news of the uncertain and unfortunate state of federal highway funding.
Yeah, he sent on two links here. One from the Huffington Post called Congress Can't Write a Highway Bill Without Punching Poor People in the Face.
Yeah, I think in the face is a more polite way of putting it.
Yes, yes. There's also another one from the National Journal. But both of these are just talking basically about the idea that we both have, or all of us have, you know, basically no desire to pay for roads, and yet we keep driving on these roads.
Yeah.
And so the little sources of funding that do show up.
That's a better takeaway from it than I got from reading it.
Come from the wrong
really
places.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was, I think, probably, I'm sure Michael was too. It just seemed like when he sent it to me, it sounded like he was also somewhat displeased.
What was interesting to me as I read, kind of skimmed through each of these articles, was like the Huffington Post, which is kind of normally a pretty liberal news blog.
Would you say they're part of the liberal media?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that exists.
Yes.
Where is this liberal media?
Anyway. Well, it's in the spin zone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, the Huffington Post really put it on the Democrats for, like, kind of, for lack of a better term, fucking up this bill.
Right. No, that seems appropriate.
And the National Journal kind of called out a lot of the Republicans.
Right.
So it's interesting. The takeaway I got is it doesn't matter who's on what side.
Right.
Your congressman is not out for your interests.
Definitely. Everyone wants to build roads and fix them. Nobody wants to pay for it. Everybody wants to take the money for that from people who can't afford to lose
yes,
it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. I would say this is, again, I mean, we've talked a lot about social justice over the past several weeks. You know, there's lots of stories that kind of touch on people whose lives may not be so great and could be better. And the number one thing I think we can do is to drive less. You know, I don't care if you own a car or not. Honestly, I don't, you know, because I know a lot of great people who have cars and don't use them that often. Sure. They are a tool that they use to do certain things.
And they're necessary for some things.
Right. I'm thinking of Logan and Tammy, who live in Montague. Logan, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned, he's got a fantastic e-bike setup now. He lives in Montague, California, outside of Orica, which is like, I want to say it's a 10-mile ride to town. And so maybe it's a 10-mile ride and then a 10-mile bus ride after that. Anyways, he's a long ways away from town. So without this e-bike,
that's a good day trip.
Virtually untenable for him to do this bike ride every day. So they've got a car, and then Tammy had some back problems too, I believe. And so it was just like, you know, this is a place where you live in, I want to be charitable, I was going to say the sticks. You live in Montague, California. It's a beautiful place. It's very rural. It's a good place to have a car. It's a useful tool in that place. But I'm just saying, like, if you don't need to drive it, don't drive it. If you live in Portland, there's no fucking reason to drive a car. Just park the thing. Use it to get out of town when you get tired of hipster Vegas.
Well, in
hipster Vegas.
Oh. I don't even know what I was going to say now.
Yes. So anyways, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, we can all get together. We can all, you know, we can all have a better life if we all choose to collectively drive less. And I think there are many tools. That's we spend a lot of our time thinking about that. That just that's just, here. Where's the?
Here's one you haven't heard in a while, listeners.
Yeah, that's right. Park your goddamn cars, everyone. You don't need them.
Pedal, damn it.
And
it,
that's right. Thank
just
you.
Just like that patch I'm going to
Niner put bikes. yeah, there's just no reason. No reason at all. Unless the unless you have a valid reason, then there is one.
Then I guess there is.
But you know what? If there's no reason to drive your car,
don't drive it.
Put the damn thing in the garage. That's your call to action, sons of bitches. All right.
And all right. So here was the thing I was going to say, and that is, you know, these highways wouldn't be in such sorry states if we drove on them less.
Right. Right. They'd last a lot longer.
They would last a lot longer.
Totally.
Yes.
You know, I haven't asked Lori. Are you? Do you own a car?
I do.
Okay. So was I offensive
Ferrari
at any point?
I love it.
I'm so offended. No, I'm car light, but I do occasionally drive.
We'll see, and that's the thing.
I drove here.
That's where.
Boo!
I know.
Boo!
I said to my roommates as I was leaving, I'm like, I should not drive to the bike podcast.
But this is where I've been, because the thing is, we're not a bike podcast. Is that fair? I mean, I think we talk.
I don't
talk,
know if that's fair. I think we have.
We talk a hell of a lot about bikes.
We have. It's pretty. This is how I've always explained it to people who've asked.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was on the plane to Montana, and this lady asked me, like, you know, the podcast came up in conversation.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Like, you know, what is it about? And I would often say, well, it's about simple living, but the bikes play a very central role in that for us. And
totally.
So the bike comes up in just about every episode that we do.
Right.
Sprocket.
And
it does have that name.
I mean, you can look at our logo and kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about beer, right?
Oh, right. And soda drinks.
And fine sodas.
Right, right. So, yes. Yeah. Have I been offensive yet to the card among us?
No. The card.
That's card, as in like people who have cars.
The carful.
Yes, the carful. But no, it really is. Again, it's like it's a tool. If you use it appropriately, it's not a bad thing. If you use it inappropriately, it sucks.
Which is,
so, yeah.
When
I first started bike commuting in Portland, this was like 2003, 2004.
Because of the Sprocket podcast?
It was. Was the Sprocket podcast around that long ago?
No.
Okay.
It was because it would someday exist.
I could feel that it was becoming.
It's going to be this bike podcast, even though they say it's not. It's going to be, and I'm going to be on one day. I'm going to start bike.
Oh, yes. That's hilarious.
Yes, that's okay. It.
We have another story,
end.
Right?
No, I had to park my car at work because otherwise, like, the temptation is there to commute by car.
Oh, so you actively, like, is it abandoning or what, how would you call
it? Well, I knew that it was what I wanted to do.
Strategic
to bike,
positioning.
Bike to work. And, if the car was there, then, like, you're running a little bit late, you're going to go. But if the car is not available, then you bike.
Yeah.
I just parked it at work so that I had access to it if I needed to go somewhere.
There you go.
But
that's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
I love this.
Your work allows you to park there overnight, and mine did.
So give us one of these.
If your work allows you to park in their parking lot overnight, do it and bike to work.
That's a good one.
Perfect. Perfect. and I have a thing here for this one because
yes. Next up from Bike Portland. City advisory committees oppose TriMet's plan for the swing gates on the Orange Line.
Swing gates.
Swing gates.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the previous articles on this?
It don't mean a thing if it don't have that swing.
The end.
Committed to one gate, then you can
try
a different gate. See how that goes.
Well, these gates all have these parties. And one gate puts
that's right.
Their gate
wow.
key.
I got a sound effect. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. What's up with these swing gates?
So, After hearing about the plans for the path at Southeast 8th and 11th, the City of Portland's Bicycle Advisory Committee and Pedestrian Advisory Committee have both issued formal letters of opposition to TriMet. When a BAC member asked TriMet what would happen if a quadriplegic tried to use the gates, committee chair, BAC committee chair, Ian Stude says that input was, quote, simply dismissed by TriMet staff, unquote.
Interesting.
The pedestrian advisory committee said they oppose swing gates because they, quote, would be very difficult, if not impossible, for people with disabilities to use.
So the idea of a swing gate is that it's a gate that you can push open,
yeah,
right?
So,
which keeps people from accidentally stumbling onto the tracks.
To bring you all up to speed, the idea is there was some observations for a month or so of their practice runs of the Orange Line, you know, going back and forth. And while people were observing bike and pedestrian traffic as it was crossing,
yeah,
and they determined that there needs to be a physical obstacle blocking bike and pedestrian traffic so that you have to stop and slow down and push a gate open, which would, I guess, in theory, slow you down enough to be aware that a MAX train is coming.
Okay. But if you have some sort of disability.
But yeah, I mean,
this would keep you away from it.
Well,
yeah.
People are aware that the Orange Line is not functioning at the moment. And so probably that affects
their
behavior.
That was another argument at the very beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you realize that this is an active line and trains are coming, you're probably not going to behave the same way.
They weren't using the scientific method very well, I think.
Okay.
Like
the observation part, yes, but
they weren't observing under the operating conditions of the train. Like the train is going one slower than it would under operating conditions. Everybody knows it's not running,
right.
So they see this train and they're like, it's just a practice run, I can make
right.
it. So these observers are seeing people, for lack of a better term, like blatantly crossing in front of the trains, and they figured it was too dangerous for bike and pedestrians without some sort of way to slow them down or stop them.
I'm looking at 8th right now, and I'm looking at a set of bicyclists that are actually just about to roll across that.
Oh no! They're proving their
right
point
now, and I hear a train horn. I think we're right here next to it.
I do hear a train horn.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be hearing the train horn.
Well, it is a quiet zone technically, but so what's the? What do we decide on this?
One last.
TriMet is now considering using switchback type crossings at Southeast 8th.
Yes, as opposed to the swing gate. So instead of having this physical gate that it's just hooked to a spring. You know, like anyone can push it open, but again, you have to stop and push it open. And like, say you don't even necessarily have to be disabled. Like, say you have your kids in a box feet,
sure,
or even just a load of stuff in a box feet,
or you got like hella groceries in your arms,
right?
Yeah,
it's gonna be and it pulls out. You have to pull it out.
Okay.
Oh,
I've got problems with that at my house.
See,
like all my panniers, and I can't open the door.
Yeah. So they move to the switchback style.
Okay.
Which I roll through it at Gateway. It's not too big of a deal, although I have just a bike. Anything mm-hmm. bigger or longer than that would still be really difficult.
So no tandems.
No.
Okay. No couch bikes.
No couch bikes whatsoever.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of couches and bikes.
That's right. We are having a live event at VeloCult in 2 weeks.
That's right. August 7th.
August
Friday
7th.
Night at 6 p.m.
Everybody show up. It's going to be fun.
And
we can announce now that Snack Parade has signed on to join us.
What?
Snack Parade. That's Leah Benson and Natalie
Ramsland.
Thank you for it's Snack Parade. They're the best new podcast in the internet.
The world.
So it's a good time to be at VeloCult. And we're looking for someone to help find a couch and deliver it to us because we want to do the talk show format this time. And
I would totally, if somebody had the trailer long enough, I would love to haul it, honestly.
Yeah. So
but if I don't know where a couch is.
Exactly.
Or a trailer.
I know where a couch is.
Are you willing to use your own couch for this?
No.
No.
That's not what I was thinking of. No.
Okay. You mean like just one you saw on the way here?
Exactly.
Like at the corner of like, you know, 6th and Clinton.
The trick is with free couches, by the way, 6th and Clinton, isn't there a bunch of great free stuff there right now?
Maybe
it's different. No, okay, I don't know.
I just picked two roads. That crossing may not actually exist.
I think you're right. I think you're right. No, isn't that like, that's like the milk packing plant.
Yeah, okay. Like the Dairy Queen.
Couches. No, it's couches, if you leave them out for free, eventually someone's going to wander by and be like, hey, those couch cushions are soft. I could sleep on those. And then all of a sudden you're left with a couch frame that nobody wants. That, yeah, so I'm not saying that people shouldn't do that. If it's free, take it. I'm just saying, like, you know, kind of free box etiquette like we've talked about in the past.
I don't know. I might say if you're going to take it, take the whole thing.
This might be a person who needs a soft place to sleep tonight that cannot move a couch.
There you go.
I can understand that. I'm not saying I like the way that it works out. I'm just saying that's, I can understand how that works. But if you're going to put a free couch out, maybe post it on the internet, you know, like, or give it to Goodwill or something like that. You put it on the couch, chances are those cushions are going to disappear.
Yeah. Actually, even the Craigslist free section is it's a pretty good way of moving things.
Seriously. Even if you put it on the put it on the sidewalk, post on Craigslist, then someone comes and picks it up like in 15 minutes or less.
Yeah.
As opposed to cushions gone, nobody wants this couch.
And then it gets rained on.
Yeah.
And I sleep in it.
Well, that's a good place to end, right? Okay. Lori.
Yes.
L Newt 1.
That's me.
Pleasure to meet you. Thank you for coming in.
You're very
Thanks
welcome.
For tweeting at us.
And good luck with bicycle travel in the future.
Woo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
I wanted to say, what is the one item that you discovered you really don't need that you thought you did? As far as bike camping, like not as a whole. Like,
I really
I don't
want
to talk about the lava lamp that you decided. I really wanted this when I was
George Foreman grill, not actually necessary.
Not useful.
Yeah, well, I don't have a grill. Or any kind of food heating device.
Oh, good for you.
Well, is it?
I think so.
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess you don't really need that many racks. I only have one rack.
Okay.
And two panniers and get it done.
It's everything you need.
Bungee cords.
Nice.
So those are at least things that
I don't think I wear
that
bike
you would suggest taking as opposed to things that you would leave. Things that you would add, bungee cords.
Yeah. Bungee cords are nice.
Yeah.
If you need a tent.
I can see the train outside.
I can hear it.
Yeah. All right. Oh.
Hopefully everyone's crossing safely.
I would imagine
has
so.
Crossed.
Yes. Yes.
Or is waiting patiently.
All right. Are we ready to close this thing out?
I think we are.
Okay, let's
Thanks
do it.
For having me.
Thank you for coming in. Oh, how was the cider and whiskey?
Oh, it was delicious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you recommend that other people do the same?
Sure.
Of course, in a controlled and legally of age environment.
Right, of course.
All right. We love you, OLCC.
But we don't. But we do, but we don't.
I don't think we're not beholden to them.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Fuck the OLCC. Okay, here we go.
Someone's coming knocking on our door. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurtbird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K. Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric White, Doug Cohen Miller.
Oh, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jekinson, J.P. Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, and Andre Johnson,
and Shelly, and I'm scrolling up because we didn't add
Oh, you're right.
Troy.
Yeah. Brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
You are listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.